Thank you very much. So I would like to welcome you all to the talk here. And most of you have talked about how to increase yields with nitrogen application. And some of you have said farmers ask for the best possible yields. So that will require a lot of nitrogen in the fields too. So what prompted this study was some of the fields that corn is grown in can undergo situations like this, and eventually over the years that could lead to degraded lands where the topsoil has been removed through erosion, and you could end up in a very shallow topsoil situation. And especially if you are in place like central Missouri, where there is problem of clay pans, you might end up with soils which is 2 centimeters to 3 centimeters deep. So the primary objective of this research was to evaluate whether we could do a bioenergy crop such as switchgrass and deploy those as a biomass feedstock production system in those marginal lands, part of your farm where you may or may not get economic corn yields. And also quantify and compare nitrogen use efficiency in corn and switchgrass as influenced by the soil depth. You probably all know why we would like to grow switchgrass for bioenergy, but I just put one slide here. We all know corn, soybean, and sugarcane-based biofuel market is not a sustainable market in the long run. Although we get most of our biofuels from these crops at present. The primary reason being is from with a 300 bushels per acre corn yield, we will get about 1,300 gallons of ethanol. And if we can, this is an if we can, 20 tons per acre, we need to have best management practices to achieve those kind of yields. And depending on what geographical area we are growing switchgrass, so we can get up to 2,000 gallons, which is almost 50% or more yield of ethanol. And also, second generation biofuels are more ecologically sustainable, and switchgrass is a native plant. It's a perennial, adaptive, deep-rooted, and it has a high genetic diversity, which can be utilized for generating high-yielding varieties down the line. And one thing I would like to point out here is that we are targeting marginal lands, not prime ag lands. But even within prime ag lands, there might be patches of marginal lands, which could be a significant proportion of the land. So we want to create a biomass feedstock system in those areas, just like precision farming, precision fertilizer application. If we have those switchgrass perennial grasses growing there, not only it will be economically feasible, economically better yield, but also it will have other environmental benefits, reduction of erosion, biodiversity, and all other associated benefits that come with it. So my study was superimposed on the trials that Dr. Newell Kitchen started at the South Farm at the University of Missouri. This is called the SPARC plot, Soil Productivity for Assessment of Renewable Energy and Conservation. It's a very complicated design. I took a significant amount of time in the beginning to understand the layout. But there are a total of 32 blocks of soil here, which has been artificially created in 1982 to mimic topsoil depths ranging from 4 centimeters to about 40 centimeters. The initial study was conducted from 1982 to 92, and at that time, at the end of that study, these plots were not used until 2008. So in 2009, Dr. Kitchen burned everything that was there and then started this spark plot experiment for renewable energy and conservation. And the species that I am working with are switchgrass, corn, soybean. Apart from this, there is also miscanthus in this plots. So this is the layout of the spark plots. You will see there are two different types of individual plots. So one will have six different subplots, one will have four different subplots. The one which has four different subplots, there is a G1, G2, which is corn soybean rotation as a comparison for a farmer growing corn and soybean, and everything that is done in these plots are based on a real life farming operation. And in these small subplots, it's for bioenergy production. So basically we have Canlo switchgrass, K plus NL is native legumes, K2 cut is there is an initial harvest for forage, and K0 receiving zero nitrogen, K90 receiving 90 pounds of nitrogen, and K60 receiving 60 pounds of nitrogen. The K2 cut receives 60 pounds of nitrogen in the beginning, and after the forage harvest it gets another 30 pounds of nitrogen. So what I did was I created subplots within these plots where we applied 15N ammonium sulfate. It was 5% atom enrichment, and the idea was to follow nitrogen, because as we know, nitrogen can be lost in the system. Already in this previous session, people had talked about 70, 80, 90% of the nitrogen being lost. So most of the nitrogen that is lost ends up in the atmosphere or in the stream. So if you have a compounding problem where your soils are shallow, there is a higher risk of nitrogen being lost, and reasons for non-point source pollution, we wanted to see how that nitrogen dynamic play out in this kind of situations. We also measured photosynthesis in corn and switchgrass. We picked three different soil depths. They were side-by-side plots in the G1, G2 experiments. So the first, the shallow depth was 2 centimeters, the mid was 22 centimeters, the other was 42 centimeters. And these measurements were done in August to September 2013. So what we see in the rate of photosynthesis, so the way I have presented this is at 1500, what the rate of photosynthesis, I consider it as 100%. And as light intensity reduces, I show it as decline in the rate of photosynthesis. So with a 2 centimeter topsoil, you will see that corn, which is yellow in the line, yellow line, the rate of decrease of photosynthesis is much higher compared to switchgrass. So switchgrass, even at such a shallow depth, is maintaining a higher rate of photosynthesis in the soil, in the plant. In the 22 centimeter and the 42 centimeter, there is still differences, but it is not as much as you'd see in the 2 centimeter system. So that tells, and when we look at the yields from 2009 and 2011, we see these are not actual data. I did not have the data with me, so I created sort of exactly what I want to point out, but it may not be 20, but it would be 18 or something. So there is a threshold soil depth above which you will get net economic yield from corn. So in this area, if you are part of the field where your soil depth is less and you are growing corn, a farmer would plant corn in his old field. And if you're half or 25% of your field has soil depth which is like this, you will not get a net economic benefit from growing corn. So you are better off growing switchgrass there. And as we all talked about, the 2012 drought, this effect was much more enhanced. Again, these are not actual numbers. It's not 70 centimeters, but I just wanted to show that this effect was much more exaggerated when there is a drought situation. With the N15 study, we did not get the whole set of data back. So this is only the K60, the switchgrass plants that received 60 pounds of nitrogen. And the soil depth here is reported as EC measurements. So lower the EC numbers, deeper the soils, and higher the EC numbers, shallower the soils. So When we looked at the end of the growing season, looked at the recovery of fertilizer nitrogen in soil, we see that there is really no pattern to it. So there was more amount of nitrogen in the middle to depth soils, but again, it's not a pattern that we can see. When we look at nitrogen derived from fertilizer in the plant tissues, we see that there is a pattern. With the deeper soils, we get a higher percentage of the N15 that ended up in the plant tissues. And when we look at the utilization of fertilizer nitrogen in terms of the applied N15, we see that the shallower soils had a much less nitrogen use efficiency compared to the deeper soils. So that suggests that the shallower soils, the nitrogen was either easily lost from the system through volatilization or runoff or leaching, whatever may be the process. But in those systems, if a farmer has 500 acres, if he applies the same rates of nitrogen, there would be a bigger loss of nitrogen into the streams and waters. So we might have to come up with a better strategy of managing those areas, whether it's biomass crops or whether other types of fertilizer recommendation that has to be looked into. So in conclusion, switchgrass shows great adaptability to poor and degraded soils, which is evident from the photosynthesis rates as well as the nitrogen data, and soil depth has been shown to influence the nitrogen dynamics, and especially shallower soils, it's reduced fertilizer use efficiency. When we get the complete data back and compare corn and switchgrass for the various depths, we'll have a much better understanding of how this whole dynamics plays out. So I don't know how well I could explain things. If you feel like that, feel free to ask me any questions, and thank you for your time.